Welcome to the Oakland Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Senior Pastor Randy Bain. It's our prayer that this message encourages you and strengthens you. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.
Amen, amen. Well, this morning we're going to continue the series. I actually started Wednesday on Ash Wednesday, and I've tried to reiterate this. I'll try to stop reiterating it eventually. But really what the theme of the message, the theme of the series, is I'm taking the last 8 days, 10 days of the life of Christ before the resurrection. Each Sunday in Wednesday and Thursday, Holy Thursday, we're going to hit a different day. So on Ash Wednesday, I really talked about Friday before Palm Sunday, and that's about 10 days before Easter or so. And on Friday, Jesus stopped over in Bethany with the home of Lazarus, and that's where Lazarus is from. I think he wasn't at Lazarus's house that day, but his feet were anointed by Mary. And then Saturday, we don't know really what he did. None of the Gospels really record what he did on the Sabbath. Probably rested, I assume. And then Sunday would be Palm Sunday, and that's really what we're going to look at this morning. Now, that makes it a little awkward in the series, because what do we usually talk about the Sunday before Easter? It's Palm Sunday. So we're actually going to look at Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 to 7, and we're going to back up a little bit as we look at the Old Testament, what happens on this day. I guess Jeremy made a mention that I might say something about the Wesley fast. If you would join me in that, I know some of you have already stopped eating something, or you're denying yourself something. I know some people are doing a Daniel fast or a partial Daniel fast. Others have, you know, withdrawn from social media. Some are, you know, stop eating sweets. I don't care whatever you do. That's great. You do what God leads you to do. The Wesley fast is what I call an easy fast, because you're only not eating from after Thursday supper until sundown on Friday. So you're missing breakfast and lunch, right? And so it's an easy fast, but it still takes discipline. You got to remember that. And you're allowed to drink all the water you want. You know, you could save the money that you're saving from your foo-foo coffee and use that to give to the poor. You could do something like that. But I already failed, okay? Friday, Darlene and I got up, we had our devotions together, and then I was sending an email with that insert to the church, saying, can we put this in the bulletin about the Wesley fast? And right as I hit send, the Holy Spirit said, today's Friday. I'm like, oh, I forgot all about it. So I think I'm going to have to put on my coffee pot on Thursday night. Tomorrow's Friday. Don't forget, because that's the first thing I do, go out and make a cup of coffee. So I need to start there. So it's okay. You're forgiven. I'm forgiven. I'm going to be doing that the whole way through June. Our annual conference is June 15th, 16th, and 17th. And that's where the vote to approve our disaffiliation from the conference level will happen. It ought to be, pretty exciting, scary times. There's about 300 churches that could be on the list at that time. We're not sure if all 300 will make it that far, but we will be one of the ones that will be listed then. So keep us in prayer. I know right now there is a lawsuit in Florida. 107 churches have filed suit against the bishop because the bishop will not really abide by anything fair on their disaffiliation process. And they have made their arguments to the judge, and they're now waiting for the judge to rule. And so be praying for both sides, the whole mess there, that God's will would be done. Amen. All right, well, let's look at Exodus chapter 2. I'm going to read 7 verses, and this is the first Passover. And this comes after the 10 plagues. This is the 10th plague. And the 10th plague, when the Israelites were delivered out of Egypt, was the death of the firstborn. And they were supposed to do this so the death angel would pass over their house, hence the name Passover. So hear the word of God from Exodus 12. Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, You are each one to take a lamb for themselves, according to their father's households, a lamb for each household. Now, if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his neighbor nearest to his house are to take one according to the number of persons in them, according to what each man should eat. You are to divide the lamb. Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for this, your holy word. And Lord, as we think about the first Passover, Lord, help us think of the Passover, the ultimate Passover of our Lord, and applying the blood to our lives. We receive you. We receive the message today. Give us hearts and ears to receive, feet willing to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if I had a memory verse, it would be verse 3. So why don't you recite that with me? On the 10th of this month, they are each one to take a lamb for themselves, according to their father's households, a lamb for each household. Exodus 12:3. As we begin this season of Lent, we usually begin to look to the cross, to the Passion Week of our Lord. And then on through that, we look to Easter, the resurrection. It is, aren't you glad we live on this side of Easter? Now, Palm Sunday, which we will talk about again in about 4 or 5 weeks, when it comes Palm Sunday, there'll be a cantata that day, and of course we'll make mention and talk about, is recorded, it is a story of the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. There was a tradition that the Eastern Gate is the place the Messiah would come through. And if you go there today, the Eastern Gate's blocked up. And I heard one time a Christian tour guide said, well, the reason it's blocked up because only the Messiah comes through that. Well, they're too late. The Messiah already came through that gate. It's the beautiful gate into to Temple Mount, the temple area. But Jesus comes riding on a donkey, the colt of a donkey, and the disciples and followers were laying their coats on the ground before him and were cutting palm branches and laying them down, hence the name Palm Sunday. Now, it's interesting, all four of the Gospels record it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all record the triumphal entry. And if you read Mark's Gospel, it's as good as any of them here. Verse 7, Mark 11:7, they brought the colt to Jesus and put their coats on it, and he sat on it, and many spread their coats on the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut from the fields. Those that went in front and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Would you just say that with me? Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. The word Hosanna is a Hebrew word. It literally means save us now. Hosanna, save us now. And that's what they were crying out. They were crying out for God. Now, really what Jesus was doing for us, it was fulfilling Zechariah 9:9. And someone asked me after the service, first service, how can the Jews know the scripture and not get this? If you read Zechariah 9:9, it says, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even the colt, the foal of a donkey. And the crowds followed him, saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. The Savior was coming. The Messiah was coming. Now, while as Christians, we really focus on the triumphal entry, we focus on Palm Sunday when we talk about that. But to the Jews, they had a whole different perspective on this day. The Sunday before the Passover was the day designated by Moses when they selected a lamb to be sacrificed. Notice that our verse we read, this month will be the beginning of months. So now the month of Nisan became the first month to them. And on the 10th of that month, they would select a lamb or a goat. And then on the 14th day of the month, they were to kill that goat. And so, when you think about it, Palm Sunday for us is Palm Sunday, the coming of Jesus. But Palm Sunday for a Jew is the day they selected the lamb. Let's look at that. The selection of the Passover lamb. On the 10th of the month, they were to take a lamb for themselves. Palm Sunday, Nisan the 10th day, it was the day they selected the lamb. I believe Jesus himself was presenting himself as the Passover lamb. Think about it, 4 days. Sunday would have been the 10th. Monday was the 11th. Tuesday was the 12th. Wednesday was the 13th. Thursday was the 14th. And what were they supposed to do at twilight? Kill the sacrifice at twilight. What did Jesus do on that day? That's when he instituted the Lord's Supper. He made the last Passover to become the Lord's Supper, his last supper on earth, where he said, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood given for you." Now, it's interesting, give a little more background. I don't want to mess over Jeremy's sermon. I've already messed it first service. Sorry. He'll do more application than I would do, so it's all good, I'm pretty sure. I'm saying it's good anyway. But the Matthew, Mark, and Luke all place the cleansing of the temple after the triumphal entry. It will say the next day. So Monday was the cleansing of the temple. Now John records the cleansing of the temple, but he does something completely different. He places it at a Passover, but he moves the Passover to right after the first miracle at Cana. And you say, well, does that mean the Bible's not true? No, John's gospel is not meant to be chronological. I mean, John gives you 7 major miracles that Jesus did. He hangs his teaching on those miracles. And so right after the Cana miracle, he sticks the cleansing of the temple story, this passage. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke are probably more chronologically accurate, but John gives us more detail. Because in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they just say about he overturned the people that were selling doves. Doves? What's doves have to do with Passover? You know? But if you read John's gospel, he gives us a fuller understanding. It says, he went into the temple, those who were selling ox and sheep and doves and the money changers seated at their tables, he made a whip and drove them out and said that this house is to be a house of prayer. And so we see what was really happening is that they were selecting their lambs for the Passover. Now the dove was a concession for poor people, okay? And so if you could not afford a lamb or a goat, then you could just buy a dove and that would suffice. So that's kind of what's recorded Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But here he talks about the money changers. And so what you think about the early day, the original Passover, they were herders. They had flocks. I mean, they were farmers. Okay? And so he says, select from your flock one of your sheep. So that's what they did. Well, now, as it gets to Jesus' time, people were not, number one, they were businessmen, right? And number two, they were traveling. Some of them were pilgrims. They made a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. So they didn't have a lamb with them. So what did you have to do? You had to buy one when you got there. So on Sunday, Monday, you had to buy your lamb. You had to find your lamb. And so the catch was, so they were selling lambs, but the catch was you had to buy the lamb with Hebrew money. And keep in mind, this is the Roman Empire time. You know, remember Jesus said, who was on the denarius? Said, well, it's Caesar. Well, yeah. So what about your coins? So they had to change their money at the temple to get temple money and then take their temple money and go buy the lamb. Now, that's where some of the corruption came in, because can you imagine all the wheeling-dealing about selling lambs? And then can you imagine all the wheeling-dealing with changing your money? How many of you ever traveled abroad? You know, they say, well, don't go to that place, because go to this place, you'll get the best exchange for your dollar. You know, or someone told me, just use your credit card, because you always get the perfect exchange with your credit card. Well, I mean, so you got people dealing with money, they got people selling stuff. I mean, it was a complete zoo. Literally, a zoo there. And Jesus cast them out, drove them out. So they were selecting a lamb. Well, now keep in mind, this first Passover and subsequent ones, who was responsible for selecting the lamb? Who was it? The head of the house. The human being had to select the lamb. You had to count up, okay, my family's too small, their family's about the right size, we'll get one lamb between us. I mean, you had to work it out. You had to select the lamb. Who was selecting? Jesus, I believe, is presenting himself as the Lamb of God. God is presenting himself as the sacrificial lamb. And so who is responsible for selecting that lamb? The ultimate Passover, the perfect offering for sin, God was. And God did that. Remember the story from Genesis when Abraham was told to offer Isaac? You guys remember that story? Genesis 22. And he said to go, and he said early in the morning he went to do it. And he loaded up Isaac, who might have been 17 or so at the time. And they got the wood and they got the fire and they're on their way. And Isaac says to Abraham, Dad, here's the law, here's the wood, here's the fire, here's the knife. Where's the sacrifice? And what did he say? You remember what Abraham said? Come on. I know you guys know this. God himself will provide a sacrifice. And so what happened? He ties up Isaac. He has his knife. He's about to kill him. An angel speaks from heaven and says, whoa, don't do it. Now I know you trust me completely. Don't do this. And he says he lifted his eyes and he saw a ram stuck in the bushes with his horns. And he went and took that lamb. And remember, he called the place Jehovah Jireh, meaning God will provide. God provided the lamb. So for you and me, we don't have to select the lamb anymore. Amen? Because Jesus is the Lamb of God. Isn't that what John introduced him as? Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. So Jesus has become our Lamb. He is the one God has provided, God has selected. And on Palm Sunday, as he comes triumphantly into Jerusalem, he is riding humbly on a donkey's colt. I don't know if you've ever imagined what that looks like. I mean, my dad was, heavier than me, as heavy as I was. He was only about 5'11", 5'10". And we used to have a little pony, a red pony called Susie. She was kind of putt-gutted and a little bit of a sway back, you know. Can you picture that? I've seen my dad on that horse, a pony. I remember that. It was the biggest circus-looking joke you can imagine. Can you imagine Jesus sitting on coats on top of a colt of a donkey, a little cute donkey colt? Humble, endowed with salvation. He is the Lamb of God for you. Well, what about the second part? He is the Lamb of God. Who sacrifices the lamb then? It says, you shall keep it until the 14th day, the same month. Then the whole assembly of Israel will kill it at twilight. Will kill the lamb at twilight. That's Passover. That's Thursday night. That's when Jesus, right before his arrest, they had the sacrifice and he instituted Holy Communion, saying, this is my body given for you. Take and eat. This is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. This is a new covenant in my blood. Take and drink. I mean, talk about putting yourself out there as the sacrifice. Isaiah 53:7 in those servant psalms says, Jesus was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, like a sheep that was silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. Jesus is the Lamb of God. He is the one God was about to sacrifice. As Zechariah 9:9 says, he was humble and mounted on a donkey. Who was making the sacrifice? It wasn't us. It was God. God was sacrificing his only son. You know, just a couple of scriptures. I mean, you could probably read 50 scriptures from the Gospels that would identify what I'm about to tell you. John chapter 10, verse 17 and following, Jesus said, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it back. No one is taking it from me, but I have lay it down of my own, and I have authority to take it up. The arrest and the crucifixion of Jesus did not just happen to him. It wasn't some bad circumstance that happened to Jesus. This was the very reason Jesus came. It's the very reason he came. He says, I lay my life down so that I can take it up again. Who offered himself? Who offered the sacrifice? Well, Jesus offered himself as the sacrifice. God sacrificed his only begotten son. What's it say in John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So who's doing the sacrifice? I mean, if you don't believe Christianity is unique, that we are, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, I just want you to think about it. All the other religions of the world have people trying to reach up to God, people trying to become God, people trying to appease God. In Christianity, we have the God who offers the sacrifice for us. It's completely backwards. It's upside down. Only the grace of God. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, by grace you're saved through faith, not of yourselves, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's the gift of God. My friends, Christianity is alone. It is unique. It is the only religion, only faith system that God does the sacrifice. So when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but by me, it makes perfect sense. Remember when he was in the garden, there's so many garden stories, all about him saying, I am, and everyone being blown down. I mean, there's so many great stories. But in Matthew 26, when Jesus is in the garden, and they come to arrest him, what does Peter do? What's he do? Come on. He gets a sword out and starts whacking him, you know? He hits the high priest's servant's ear and cuts it off. And Jesus takes and heals him. Can you imagine what that high priest, you know, the guy's thinking the rest of his life, like, wow, you know? And he tells Peter to put his sword up. And listen to this. He says in Matthew 26, 51, or do you not think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? How then would the scriptures be fulfilled, which says it must happen this way? He's saying, you don't need to defend me. At a moment's notice, I can call 12 legions. A legion is like 5,000 to 6,000 soldiers. I mean, at a snap of his finger, just the whisper of his words, he could have had 50,000 to 75,000 angels there to fight for him. He didn't need Peter. Peter was a fisherman, not a swordsman. You know? He was giving himself up for us. And of course, remember when he was before Pilate, what did Pilate said to him? He said, are you not going to answer me? Remember, he was silent before them. He wouldn't answer. He wouldn't defend himself. And Pilate said, why don't you answer me? Don't you know that I have the power to release you or crucify you? And what did Pilate say? You have no power over me except given you from above. You have no power over me. Jesus was the sacrifice. God was sacrificing his son for you. He is the ultimate Passover lamb. On Palm Sunday, we celebrate him coming in. He came, he gave himself as a sacrificial lamb. He was sacrificed by God. Remember on the cross, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He sacrificed Jesus on the cross for you and for me. And then finally, we read in here about applying the blood of that lamb. Verse 7 says, moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they to eat it. Now, I said on that first Passover, it was the responsibility of the parent, the father of the household, to select the lamb, to crucify, to kill the lamb, not to sacrifice it, but then also to place the blood on the doorposts. The selection wasn't effective. The sacrifice didn't count until the blood was on the doorposts. And so I would challenge us to think about the ultimate Passover lamb, Jesus Christ. God selected him. God sent him down. God crucified him. But that's not effective. Even the resurrection is not effective in your life until you have applied the blood to your house. And by your house, I mean your being, your body, your life. How do we do that? We cannot save ourselves. Ephesians 2 says, it is not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works. Well, how do we do that? How do I apply the blood? When they came into the triumphal entry, when they came into on Palm Sunday, the crowds were yelling, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the Son of David. I believe that's how we do it. We cry out to God, save us now. We cry out to God, save me now. My friend, you are hopelessly lost without Christ. St. Augustine said, we are restless until we find our peace in Him, in God. Will you cry out to Him today? As we begin to look to Easter, we look to the resurrection, I invite you to apply the blood of Christ to your life. Cry out to Him, save me now. Save me now. You know, I was... I've been sleeping better. Thank you. Some of you have been praying for me. I actually have been losing weight, been dieting, and I've been eating a pretty good quantity of fruit, a bowl of fruit before I go to bed. And after talking to someone about how I was sleeping, because what was happening, I would go to bed at night, as soon as my head would hit the pillow, I could be completely tired. As soon as my head would hit the pillow, my eyes would pop open. And then I would lay there for all night sometimes, not being able to sleep. And I was talking to someone about it, and kind of like the Lord just spoke to me and says, you eat a bowl of fruit before you go to bed, dummy. And I thought, oh, I'm probably on a sugar high about the time I get to bed. I eat this fruit, and then I lay down, and I'm like, wow, I'm like wide awake. So I quit eating the fruit before I go to bed, and I've been sleeping. Praise God. I've been getting sleep at night. But last night, I went to sleep, and I thought, okay, I felt like I slept good, and I had a long sleep, and felt like the alarm was about to go off, and I looked up, and it was 12:30. I thought, oh, no. And then all the things that you don't want to think about, you start thinking about. And so finally, after about an hour of that, I decided, I prayed for everyone I could think about, some of you, and I decided I am going to say the name of Jesus 1,000 times. While I'm laying here. I had a college professor, well, he's actually a retired professor on prayer, and he had a sheet made with the name of Jesus on there in rows, like two rows at a time. A big long sheet where he had the name of Jesus on there 1,000 times. His morning devotions, before he did anything else, he would recite the name of Jesus 1,000 times. And I thought, well, I can do that. So I'm laying in bed praying, Jesus, 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 that's 5. Jesus, 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 that's 10. And I did 100, and then I thought, well, I'll change it up. And I was Jesus, Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus, Lamb of God, who takes away the sins. I know I sound kind of Catholic, but that's what I was doing. I was like, it's not counting sheep. I was counting Jesus. And then I was like, Hosanna, save us, Lord, Hosanna, save us. And then I was praying for people, Lord, Hosanna, save so-and-so, Lord, heal so-and-so. I mean, I finally, I don't know how many times, well, then I caught myself in the midst of that, drifting back into some of the worrisome things I'm dealing with. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm in the middle of saying, Jesus, 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 how can I think about those things? And so I had to keep going back to Jesus. You know, how do we claim the blood? We claim the blood by crying out to God, saying, save me now. Hosanna to the Son of God. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He has died for you. He is your sacrifice. He has done everything you need, and He will accept you because of that. In the Old Testament, they gave a clear, detailed description on how to offer a sacrifice for sin. Leviticus chapter 4 gives the description. And it gives three or four categories. If the congregation sinned, if a leader sinned, if a priest sinned, and then if an individual sinned. It was all the same instructions. You would take the lamb, you would put your hand on the lamb while the priest cut its throat. Have you ever been that close to someone, something dying? The reason you had to put your hand on there is because that sacrifice was for you. Somehow, as we cry out to God to save us now, we are claiming Jesus' death as for me, for my sins. The Lord paid such a price for you. That's how much He loves you. He invites you to come to Him. As I was praying last night, I was praying for everything. Hosanna. Heal so-and-so. Hosanna, save this family. Hosanna, lead us into the future. Hosanna, set this person free. Hosanna, come and save us now. I don't know where you're bound or where you're struggling or where you're praying. I've heard the phrase, something about being locked out or just feel like you're stuck. I've heard that, I don't know, maybe 10 times this morning already in both services. Maybe you're feeling just stuck. Stuck in your life, stuck in your faith, stuck in your journey with Jesus. I would call you, I would invite you to come this morning and cry out, Hosanna, save me now. If you're struggling with a health issue, come heal me now. If you just need more of the Lord, come and feel me now. I invite you to come. That's how we claim it today. All that Jesus has done, all that God has done for you is ineffective if you don't apply the blood. I'm going to invite you to apply the blood this morning. We'll be here at the altars, you know, front pew here, at the platform, wherever. You just come and mind the Lord this morning. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Let me pray for you as the worship team comes. Lord, I thank you that in the name of Jesus, you are our sacrifice. You are our love gift from God to us. We receive that this morning, O God. Save us. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Save us now. Heal us now. Fill us now. Deliver us now. Guide us now, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Oakland Church. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.